Hey everyone, it's Steve. Welcome to another Tech in MKE episode, Conversations with Business Leaders Who Have a Connection to Milwaukee, where we chat about the state of technology in their organization, our community, and how both come together to attract talent and make Milwaukee more techie. This episode features Sean Jones and Jeremy Kajora, a couple of computer science professors and AI experts from Milwaukee School of Engineering. The two of them sat down with me to talk about artificial intelligence, AI. What is AI? What's ChatGPT that we're all hearing about? How are companies like Milwaukee Tool using AI? Will AI take all of our jobs? All of this and more in a fast-paced and fun conversational episode. Tech in MKE is brought to you by Harley-Davidson, the Milwaukee Tech Hub Coalition, Expedient, the Milwaukee School of Engineering, and Brooksource. Thanks for listening. Love you, Milwaukee. Guys, how are you doing today?
Good.
Pretty good.
Good. Well, first of all, before we get into anything, who are you and what do you do?
I'm Sean Jones. I'm a professor of computer science here at MSOE. My area of expertise, if we're going to call it that, is natural language processing, which is anywhere from like Google Translate to ChatGPT, that kind of thing.
Does any of that make my car talk?
Yeah, actually.
Because yes. My daughter does that sometimes to my four-year-old. And he thinks the car is talking to him. So, all right, we'll get into that later, maybe. Awesome, I love that. And who are you? What do you do?
I'm Jeremy Kajora. I'm the current and first occupant of the People Power Endowed Chair in AI here at MSOE, which means that, much like Sean, I'm a professor, and I do things that a professor does, right? I teach, maybe do some scientific research on topics related to AI.
And we are back for this episode of Tech in MKE back on MSOE's campus, of course, because when you're talking about the latest and greatest in technology, when you're talking about real life business application and education, where else would you be, right? Right? Yes. Okay. And you have a Rush. You have the Rush hoodie on too.
I do, yeah.
This is going to be a good talk, I can tell. All right. So we're talking AI. As I hang out in coffee shops and in bars and all too often, the topic of AI comes up, but mostly in the form of ChatGPT. Like that, I think, is the public-facing form of AI to a lot of people, especially non-techies who are, as we talked about kind of before this, you know, afraid of this stuff, curious, interested, intrigued, wondering where it's going to go. What can it do? Is it going to replace them? But can you give us a non-techie overview of what generative AI is like and how it differentiates from other kinds of AI? Are there other kinds of AI? And what is, like, from a non-technical kind of perspective?
So I'll give you my thoughts on it, yes. My two cents, right? So I think of AI as automated decision making for the most part, right? Every AI capability or system I've ever encountered, and I welcome, like, Sean correcting me if I mess this up, right? That I've ever encountered can be thought of in that way, right? As some sort of automated decision-making capability. And ChatGPT is like that too, right? The automated decision-making that it's doing is deciding what word to give you, right? Given a location in the sentence. Like, although Sean knows a lot more about that than I do. And I think, right, you know, generative AI, right? If that's how you think of AI as automated decision making, then I think generative AI is like a class of machine learning artificial intelligence models that's aimed at using its automated decision making capabilities to create new stuff, mm-hmm. right, in one or more ways.
And I'm going to jump in real quick because the way you describe it, it's not like AI was born yesterday. It's been around in some form. Machine learning, right? All this stuff. Okay, cool. All right.
So, yeah, and just to piggyback off what Jeremy's saying, because, yeah, that's a pretty good encapsulation. The difference between, like, a generative AI versus non-generative AI, like, yeah. Non-generative AI is decision-making where, for example, I'm going to build a system and I'm going to teach the system what it looks, what an image of a dog is, what an image of a cat is, right? And then I'm going to give it an image and say, is this a dog or a cat? It's not making anything, but it's making a decision. It's looking at this and saying, based on what you've shown me and what I've learned, this is a cat. And right, so that would be a non-generative AI type of problem, where generative AI is generating something. Like ChatGPT is a good example. You give it a prompt, you ask it a question, and then it generates an answer. It creates out of whole cloth this statement, whatever it's going to be, based on what you've given it. And so non-generative AI is more of categorization, classification, and things like that, where generative is making some text, making a picture, like you, DALL-E, it gives you the opportunity to you describe a picture and it draws one for you, things like that.
So you can ask it like, it's my anniversary, what should I get for my wife?
Exactly.
Perfect. I'm in. Okay, so let's take that scenario, that use case. How do you like that? Mm-hmm. Let's take that use case a little bit further into the business world. And where do you see sort of most of the impact right now? I've been roaming around Milwaukee, sitting in on some of these ChatGPT conversations. Mostly, that's what they're kind of touted as. Mm-hmm. Where is AI having an impact on business as you're seeing it right now?
Kind of depends on the kind of AI. GPT specifically, since that's the new hotness as of last year, right? Everyone's talking about it. It is working itself kind of as a an assistant and as an interface. So it's allowing people to ask questions, and it can give answers, but it's not that smart. So it'll give forms of answers. Like, say, for example, what I'm trying to say is, like, say you want to write an email to someone, and you know what you want to say, but you're really bad at writing, right?
So like me, very lazy.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Yeah. And lazy, you want to get to your beer as soon as possible.
Lazy is good in this case, right?
Okay.
So
you
go to ChatGPT and say, hey, I want to write an email to this person. I want it to sound like this, and I want to talk about these topics. Go. ChatGPT is going to write the email for you. Now, only because you've given it all the information, it doesn't know what to say. And then you might not like everything it does, but it's going to give you this format, right? And
sort
so it's giving
framework.
You a first draft.
Yeah. Right.
And so people are using it a lot for things like that. Mm-hmm. I just actually got done with a talk the other day with a conference for people in a specific field. I won't talk about what field it is, but and they... A lot of them, when they said they used it, what they did was they would use it to draft letters, to draft a schedule. They would give information and it would come up with a schedule, things like that. And they don't just take that and use it, but it's the first draft and it makes things way faster for them. And so they're a lot more efficient with a lot of the writing that they're doing.
Yeah.
So for ChatGPT specifically, that's where I'm seeing its main benefit in business right now.
Right.
I think, you know, kind of building on that, like more generally, right? I have some friends who have CS, PhDs. They work out in Silicon Valley and industry. And they've been out there for a couple decades. And they tell me, like, you know, look, Jeremy, every firm in Silicon Valley that does this kind of work would love to kill the white collar job, right? They would love to be able to build an AI that can make white collar jobs like irrelevant, right, and replace them. And I think, like, when I think about ChatGPT, that's kind of how I think of it. I think of it as like a multiplier on individual productivity, right? Like, economists call this total factor productivity, right? How much, you know, one unit of labor equals in terms of output, right? Mm-hmm. So that's how I see ChatGPT impacting stuff, is it increases your productivity, which means that, you know, that one person can do the work of two people because they can write their emails a lot faster or whatever.
Right.
And this is the kind of the longer term impact of it, right? That you might end up with workforces in which people are augmented by, you know, AI type assistants, right? And it could imagine it leading to, you know, the need for fewer people, right?
Right.
And we're already there, right? We're seeing a lot of tasks being taken over by AI. Even something as simple as screening applicants is all done by AI. A lot of lower tier IT tech is you've got a bot that you're talking to. It's AI.
Right.
So we're already starting to see that, where you need less people to do the work because a lot of the low level work that doesn't need human intelligence, basically, it can be handled. If it's just rote memorization or rote repetition of something, you don't need a person to necessarily do that.
And
that's, how we're going to proceed from there, that's a really good question.
Interesting. But, and you know, I've seen it in my own work as well. Feed it the information it needs. It generates the thing you want. And then if you don't have the background knowledge, you don't, it's going to be harder to know if it's accurate.
Yes.
Yeah, 100%.
And or if it's pertinent to your audience. Mm-hmm. And so to work through that process has been really interesting, but efficiency like crazy. I mean, I can do double the things in a day or 4 hours of work in 15 minutes, just kind of shaping the team that I call ChatGPT. It's my creative team. Okay, so ethical concerns. What is the discussion around that right now? And we can stick on the business side of things. You know, what I know as a professor, I got a message sent to me and said, hey, here's a PDF. I didn't know this person. Here's a PDF with 23 business plans. Assume your students are writing their business plans using ChatGPT or AI. I just kind of, you know, deleted it and moved on. But what are the ethical concerns in business side or professional side that we need to be thinking about?
It could be a whole podcast.
This is one of those where to begin situations.
Yeah. Right? I give you the top 100. No, I'm kidding. Yeah. Maybe the one you're seeing or hearing the most that surfaces, is it cheating? Is it presenting work that maybe isn't yours?
Yeah, I have a couple thoughts, right? And then I'll kick it over to Sean for more thoughts, right? But I think there's two things that I could imagine being problematic, maybe three things, right? One is the cheating issue, right?
Yeah.
For professors, right? Because, like, you know, we are in the business of helping people become better at things. And just like an athlete has to run the miles and do the push-ups and stuff like that, a student, right, has to do the problem sets, they have to do the homework, or they're not going to get good at what, you know, we want them to get good at.
Right.
Right. So that's a real problem. I think, you know, kind of linked to that, you know, is the idea, as you said, of using work that's not your own, right? And so the larger ethical issue is these large language models that take in a billion documents and learn from those billion documents are taking in things that people have created, right? And that those mm-hmm. people have not consented, you know, for use, right? You know, to build an AI agent. A lot of people might be pretty uncomfortable with that kind of usage of their stuff. And you see this has played out like in Hollywood strikes, like the Writers Guild strike had something to do with, or a large component
right,
of their
right.
their unease was the use of AI, right, for generating like content for TV shows and movies and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So I think that's one kind of issue. Another issue is the bias issue, because ultimately these AIs are just going to encode our own existing problems in the data that we've generated, right, through our actions. If humanity is racist, misogynistic, right, et cetera, that's just going to, you know, get encoded
into the system,
yeah.
right?
And Sean raised a great example of that, right, with the automated parsing of job applications, right? A large company that will remain unnamed for right now had a famous incident, right, where they created a sexist AI, right, that parsed job applications and predominantly then hired male applicants, right, or forwarded male applicants on. I think the third ethical issue that I'll mention is that something like ChatGPT has like no levers to pull, right? It can't actually do anything besides generate text. But as soon as you do put levers in the hands of an AI, then I think you've got all kinds of liability issues, right? Who owns the responsibility for the decisions it makes? Yep. Who's on the hook if there is an accident, someone gets killed and there's a lawsuit?
Right.
Self-driving cars, right? That's a great example of that kind of thing that's going to be playing out, you know, in the near future.
Yeah, yeah. Those are all really good. The only thing I'll add to that, and that's going on with this idea of bias, is also the idea of misinformation. So if you think about ChatGPT, ChatGPT basically sucked up the web. Right, it took up billions and billions of pages, and it learned. Basically, we're teaching this thing about our society and how are we doing it? The internet. So, as we all know, everything on the internet is true.
Exactly.
And so the problem is
my kids tell me that all the time.
Yeah, well, it's all encoded in there now, right? So the good and the bad are inside ChatGPT or any other language model that you're going to build that way. And so misinformation, and very specifically, purposeful misinformation by bad actors is a real problem. It's a problem now,
right?
Especially with the election coming up, we're starting to see it. We're starting to see bots flooding social media with whatever people pay people to tell them to do, right?
Right.
And
right.
so, and these bots are basically, they're using a ChatGPT type thing to generate something that looks human, but it's not. But and then so things like that are already happening in there, and that's going to be, I think, along with the bias that's encoded in all this, is going to start being a really big deal, because ChatGPT specifically, but also Google has its own out now. They're
right.
using it in search. This is going to become, in a very short period of time, I'm going to put my futurism hat on. This is going to become how people interact with computers. I don't know when. I don't know if it's 5 years down the road or 10 years.
It'll be the interface.
It is. We won't be typing. We'll be talking to, think Star Trek, where you talk to the computer and the computer gives you an answer. We already have the technology to do that. It's just mm-hmm. a matter of how to interface it smoothly and get people to accept it.
Wow, yeah.
But so it's going to be there, but that also means that all of the problems that we've just talked about, that's going to be there too. And so there's lots of research going on right now about identifying and mitigating
right.
All this.
Right. So when you put your futuristic hat on, you had to take your Rush hat off.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Which is, yeah, which is stellar. So anyway, all right. So what about locally? What's happening, you know, around Milwaukee in business? Are you seeing, hearing, getting questions? You don't have to name names or anything, but, you know, what are, I can imagine you get a lot of inquiries in what you do. And so what are you hearing, seeing, feeling?
So it's funny you say that. So ChatGPT dropped November last year. That's when it went public. Mm-hmm. Before that, no one knew what NLP was. I offered an NLP class. I had students take it only because they needed an elective. They had no idea what I was doing. Like, they literally went in blind and had just no clue. I'd ask them, why you take the class? And the answer was, I need credits.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard that a lot too, by the way. And so, and this was specific to that class because the next term I taught it was after ChatGPT. Everybody suddenly knew everything about it, knew what they wanted to do. Like, it's taken over this consciousness in a big way.
Yeah, and NLP is?
NLP is natural language processing.
Correct, yes.
Which is just speaking or interacting with a computer the way we would with our language instead of trying to have to learn the computer's language.
Right.
And so I have, ever since it happened, I have been getting monthly requests to go out and give talks about GPT. And again, I've worked, this is my eighth year here, 7 years, no one knew my phone number. And now I'm getting all of these calls.
Of course,
right?
Yeah, right.
But now, but the questions, and these are businesses or business groups in general, and they're asking some of the things, yes, like what can we do with this?
Right.
What do we have to worry about? What are the legal ramifications? I team up with a lawyer that specializes in AI, and we spend like an hour and a half talking about this is what it is, these are some of the things you have to worry about, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of people and a lot of different businesses that want to know what they can do. Like, they know this is a thing. Everyone's talking about it. What can we do to use it? And again, like I mentioned before, kind of being an assistant so far has been what I've seen. Now, aside from GPT, Milwaukee Tool is a great example, and they advertise this, that they are either using AI in all of their power tools.
Yeah.
They're designing them to be smart, to know things like, say you have a drill. AI is going to help determine the torque of that drill, to when the automatic off is going on, how fast it should be going, or, you know, whatever. Like, it's trained on that. They spend time encoding that into the tool. So you've got a computer, a very small computer, in almost all the Milwaukee tools now.
That's awesome.
A lot of the upper level tools.
So is there how real is it that, you know, I'm painting the worst case scenario that everyone's, AI is going to take over the world and take every job that exists, and it'll just be AI, and we'll all be just hanging out, talking with each other. But what does that look like? Do you think about those sort of things? And are companies worried? Are people worried?
I don't know, Sean, what your view is. I think it's complete nonsense. To be honest with you, I think it's just complete nonsense. Like, you know,
and that's probably like a breath of fresh air for people to kind of hear that too.
You know, maybe, I don't know, right? I think there's a couple things to think about there, right? First is that you did have a lot of prominent people, you know, call for a moratorium on the development of AI after ChatGPT dropped. And it's important to remember that those prominent people, right, have interests involved, right? And many of them may have their own AI capabilities that they've developed, and they now want to kind of freeze market entry, right?
Right.
So that's one thing to keep in mind, is maybe look at things like that with a skeptical eye. The second thing is, it kind of goes back to what I said a minute ago, right? ChatGPT has no levers. Can't do anything, right? Except maybe you spit some text back to you. We have the choice to give AI levers or not. You know, we always have that choice. It's hard for me to imagine, right, a situation in which it could kind of accidentally get levers, you know, through its own volition, right? Whatever that even means, right? Since none of these things are sentient anyways, right? So there's no levers, right? There's no levers involved. And since there's no levers involved, it's going to be very difficult to have a Skynet-like situation. Like, we would have to be extraordinarily stupid, right, to create a situation like that.
Yeah.
And I, you know, so for these reasons, I'm sort of not super worried about it. I think the more real issue is going to be things like economic dislocation from, you know, like I said before, you're changing productivity, right? Changing worker productivity. And I think the extent to which that's a problem really depends on if AI hits fast or slow, mm-hmm. right? If it hits fast and has a huge impact on worker productivity really quickly, I think that's going to create a big structural break and people are going to lose their jobs. Mm-hmm. I think if it happens more slowly and smoothly, then that won't happen. We won't have people lose their jobs. But what you might see is, like, you know, maybe depressed hiring relative to the, you know, world in which there was no AI.
Sure.
So. Yeah. And I just, from what I've seen, I don't see AI slowing down. I have a feeling and a fear that it's going to be fast. that it's just going to be this build up, and then the bubble is going to happen. But yeah, it's not sentient. Like, especially ChatGPT, which looks human. And this is the big concern I have with GPT is more of a social aspect. It's people are going to, people that don't know what it is and people that don't understand how it does what it does,
right,
are going to see it and think that there's intelligence there because it can give you answers, right? But it can't. It basically, there's a side effect. It's designed to be a chatbot where it just is supposed to talk to you like a person. That's mm-hmm. what it's designed to do. But as a result of being trained on all this stuff, it knows a lot of stuff, or at least has a lot of facts. And so it will give you a lot of things that look like answers. It's passing like the bar exam because that's all about recall. And well, recall is really good when you're a computer and you've got it all stored.
Right.
But that's all it does. So the side effect of having all this stuff is that it looks really smart. And so people will anthropomorphize this thing. They're going to turn it into an actual thinking, sentient thing. When all it does is literally construct sentences one word at a time. Like, that is literally what ChatGPT does at the end of the day. There's a whole lot that goes into that, but that's sure. really what it's doing.
Sure.
And so people are going to give a lot of power or cede a lot of power to these things, and they're not going to be able to perform the way a person would. And so society is going to have to catch up with what this is. In the short term, I think there are going to be businesses that are going to try and use it, and it's going to fail badly. There was a lawyer that tried to have it, ChatGPT, write an entire brief, submitted the brief. Turns out the brief was 100% a hallucination by ChatGPT. None of it was actually real. But it looked real. And so, and this is the problem, is that people don't know what it's supposed to look like or what it's supposed to do or what it's supposed to have. If you're not an expert in what it is, or if you are and you don't pay attention.
I think characterizing ChatGPT as an articulate, confident idiot is not far off the mark, to be honest with you.
Well, those are the kind of guys I hang out with.
Right? So. Yeah.
Confidently
yeah.
incorrect is a great way of putting
right.
it. Yeah.
Well, thank you both. This was awesome. I had a blast. I mean, I have a bazillion more questions, but I'll ask ChatGPT. Never mind. Yeah. All right. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.